What's poppin'? Brand new whip, just hopped in. I got options. I can pass that like Stockton. Just joshin'. I'ma spend this holiday locked in. My body got rid of them toxins. Sports in the top 10. I can put the ball in the end zone, put a bad in the friend zone. Sound like an intro Jet song, give me that tempo. Told Pooh he a fool. Told her don't let her friends know. In the Ville and I move like a dime. Even fettuccine of Vincenzo's.
Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Danica Haler, Brian Elke, and Anthony Bellino all joining you here this morning. And on the phone with us right now, we covered the Detroit Tigers minor league system for a couple of decades, covered the NBA and the Cleveland Cavaliers, covered the Mid-American Conference Athletics as well. Our good buddy, John Wagner. Find him on Twitter, John Wagner Sport. John, my friend, first and foremost, thanks for taking the time to join us today. How are you, partner?
I am a little slice of heaven. How are you this morning, Anthony?
Doing well on this glorious Tuesday. You know, the Pistons had me all excited early last night. That was fun. You know, Casey Mize was in attendance for the game. He and I assume which would be his girlfriend, God bless him, just hanging out, watching a little Pistons basketball. The young rookies taking over. Young rookies and newcomers trying to do the same for the Tigers. And after a really good stretch of baseball in the early portion of the week last week, they took 3 out of 3 against the Astros. I was flabbergasted by that. And here I go, John, silly me, talking about, well, you know, if they sweep the A's and they get this series against the Pirates midweek next week at this time, we could be talking about a team. Yeah, okay. They dropped 4 consecutive games to Oakland. In 4 days, they manufactured just 6 runs. They got absolutely shelled. Disaster on Sunday in the outfield with Victor Reyes. Some errors at third base there by Jamer Candelario. But Matt Boyd in the pitching, it was there for Matt Boyd. Just this team just could not get the runs produced. And it's really hard to kind of pinpoint this in one individual series for a pro team because, you know, it's just the ebbs and flows of the season.
Oh, I don't think it's hard to pinpoint that one at all. The offense is just, I mean, there's not enough major league depth in that offense to produce a lot of runs consistently over the course of the season. I mean, you have Cabrera's hurt, and Cabrera isn't Cabrera. We've talked about this at length. He's not the same guy he was 4 or 5 years ago. But there aren't, frankly, a lot of major league hitters. Have you cooled slightly on Akil Badu? Have you cooled off a little bit on his Hall of Fame journey, or you still think he's going to the Hall of Fame?
Oh, yeah. You know, I had one good story, right? I had one fun thing to follow. The guy was finally getting his jersey printed so you could buy it in the team shop, John. And then all of a sudden, the wheels just fell off the bus for him in a tough series. One thing I do want to touch on before we get into the individual performances here with that series against Oakland was the fact that Dan Dickerson did a segment for us on our In the Den piece that runs daily here on the Michigan Sports Network. And he was talking about travel times and the fact that the Tigers didn't get in until the wee hours of the morning for the first game against Oakland, and that MLB should have a mandate that teams have to play day games on travel days, because he talked about the importance of sleep and how, you know, you have this, the human body needs rest and the toll that it takes for these guys to travel. And I would just throw this out to any casual citizen, you know, travel to the West Coast and, you know, go for a weekend and then come back. You know, if you go on vacation, even if you're just laying around not doing anything. Now, I'm not asking to play any, you know, sport at any professional level or anything like that. You want to run up and down at the YMCA? Sure, go ahead. But outside of that, just go on vacation and come back. And you know that it takes a second to adjust to the time change and your sleep pattern being thrown off. And I just thought that Dan's point about the, you know, the guys need some rest and this is something MLB should mandate, I thought that was a good idea.
Well, and so does MLB, because they've mandated it in the minor leagues. You'll notice in this year and then moving forward that on getaway day, in other words, the last day of a series when the visiting team is heading elsewhere, and oftentimes at the end of a homestand, the home team is headed elsewhere. But on that quote-unquote getaway day, they have been mandated to play afternoon games. Here's the one problem that I see with the explanation that you gave me, and it was something that I saw with the Mud Hens when they were playing those morning contests, those school kids celebration
days.
Oh,
I hate those.
Like, well, not nearly as much as the players do, because that's off of their normal schedule. Baseball players as a whole, in general, are used to playing night games. They play most of their games at night. So they don't even wake up a lot of times before noon. Now, and that makes sense when they're going to work at 2 in the afternoon and working until 10 or 11, you know, and then maybe getting in a post-game workout, certainly having something to eat and so forth. You know, they're not getting out of there until midnight. So even having that getaway day, switching it to a day game, that changes the schedule too. You know, it's a tricky balance to reach because, like I said, baseball players are used to going at night. You play night games most of the time. And so April is interesting because they've spent spring training playing day game after day game after day game, and now they're having to transition from that day schedule of spring training to some day games and some evening games. But hey, by May and June, most of the time they want to play at night. You want to play night games and just a larger crowd. And so you have an interesting balance you're trying to strike there because you want to play at night, but weekends are during days, and now there's getaway days, and that's at, you know, 1 o'clock start, so you can get out at a decent time. And, you know, it will take some jiggering, I guess, technical term there, jiggering of the schedule, but to make that thing kind of work. And there's no perfect answer there. Let's just say that. This is not an easy fix at all.
I have the easiest of fixes, but the traditionalists will not like my fix, John. They won't like it, but just trim the schedule back a few games, and then you can work in, hey, if you're on the road for a series, you get a day off, and then you can pick up your next series whenever. But the schedule makers...
Hold on a second. I want to make sure I understand this. So you play, let's be the Tigers for a second. They played 3 games in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
It was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Then what's the next step?
Then they play four in, they would just have the day off, and then you could play 3 in Oakland.
Okay. Here's the problem with that, Anthony. Suddenly you're costing yourself an opportunity to play a day game or a game every week. I assume if you're playing Sunday, are you taking Monday off?
Yeah.
Well, then now you play Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. What? You're taking Friday off? Not a chance. You know, there's a finite number of options for open days, you know?
I see what you're saying as far as like the weekend schedule and attendance and everything like that.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you want to play Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I think we can all agree on that.
Mm-hmm.
You want to play Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Take Monday off? Okay, that makes sense to me. Then you play Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Wait a second. Where's my off day? Because the next day is Friday, and I'm not taking Friday off. It's not as easy as it looks.
Well, you know, a lot of times NBA teams have Friday nights off, and a lot of times there will be Friday nights off in the NHL, and it's just the way the schedule works. We can't always get what we want. If you have 81 home games, that's plenty of time to collect on your revenue.
Anthony, you're not comparing apples and apples there. The NBA and the NHL doesn't play every day. Baseball plays most days of the week. You know what I'm saying?
Correct.
If you have a 7-day week, you're going to play, weather permitting, obviously, 5 or 6 of those days.
Oh, yeah.
NHL, NBA, yeah, 3 times in a week, that's a busy week.
Indeed. So indeed it is.
That's not apples and apples.
Well, I tried, you know, just cut 30 games. It's cut 30 games. Anyways, back to our Hall of Fame candidate, Akil Baddoo. It was not a good weekend for him as he went 0 for 4 on Thursday, followed up with 0 for 3 on Friday. And then he went, he wasn't in the lineup on Saturday. And then Sunday, he came back around and threw up another 0 for 4. Just, his last hit was last Wednesday against the Houston Astros. And I mean, he had 0 for 14 with 10 strikeouts since that last hit, so not necessarily very productive from him. You expected it to slow down at some point. Still an awesome, incredible start to the season, even if he does get in a little bit of a rut and has an opportunity to shake that off this coming week.
Yeah, I mean, in the same way, you'll remember I was not overly crazily high on him when he was hot. I'm not going to get crazily overly down on him when he's cold. You got to remember, he never played above high A baseball. That's, if you're suddenly learning the game at the major league level, you're going to have ups and downs. Yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed the up, and you know, hopefully the down doesn't last too long. But there's going to be ups and downs with a young player, and especially a young, inexperienced player. Let's try and get a different hand out there. You know, let's see somebody else. Let's not forget about him, because you want him to play. The only way he's going to get better is with at-bats. But, you know, I would be strongly in favor of a day or two off. Just kind of clear the tower, you know, let it take a couple of good days of BP, see where that puts you, and then move forward.
You know, and although the Tigers went 0-for-4 in the series against the Oakland A's, coming off that the series sweep there against Houston, in which they won 3-3 against the Strohs, maybe play with a little more juice because of AJ Hanschen. You know, who knows what it could have been? But they had the Astros number. I was actually somewhat encouraged. Thursday night, Skubal took the mound. He drops to 0-2 on the year. He went 4 innings. He surrendered 2 runs and 2 hits. Only one of the runs was earned. He did, however, walk 4. His control was a little bit out of whack. He struck out 5, and he threw 88 pitches. And I was like, okay, you know, that's all right. And then Urania went the very next night, lasted 7 innings, gave up 7 hits, but only 2 of those became runs. He walked 2. He struck out 8. Not a bad line there. They only lost 3-0. They just couldn't get any work done and get any run support. And then you work into Saturday. Casey Mize, he goes 5 innings, gives up 7 hits and 5 earned runs. He did strike out 4, but once again, I mean, maybe not the greatest start ever, for him. But he's
3 home runs struck off him. Some of them might still be traveling. I mean, there were some hard hit balls there.
Some very, very hard hit balls, and those homers all happening early. It didn't do him any favors from a confidence standpoint either. And then you get into Sunday's game, and I thought Matt Boyd had a really good outing: 7 1/3, 4 hits, 2 earned runs, 5 strikeouts. I thought overall, from a staff, like, it wasn't necessarily a bad series for the pitching staff as a whole. The bullpen wasn't great. There were some fielding errors throughout, but I thought from a staff, I was somewhat encouraged by what we saw.
I could see that. And I would say that if there are Tiger fans that are worried because they announced the rotation for the Pittsburgh series, and suddenly with Spencer Turnbull coming back, they're moving Tarek Skubal to the bullpen, that doesn't bother me at all. You know that I've been banging the drum since March, maybe even since February, to control innings, especially for young pitchers like Skubal and Mize. Those are the big two. And so my understanding is that Skubal goes to the bullpen. My guess is that Spencer Turnbull won't have a long start. You might see the two of them piggyback. I'm not offended by that at all. I kind of like that, actually. They need to worry, they being the Tigers, need to worry about innings with young pitchers. And by worry, I mean control them, not let them get out of hand. So I'm all good with that, actually. And I'm hoping that sometime soon they find somebody to piggyback with Casey Mize to limit his innings.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question, because if we're seeing this with one, will we see this with the other, and will we see a move for Casey Mize? Do you think they keep him as a starter, or do you think they try to move him into the bullpen to try to manage some of those innings, much like they're doing presently?
Yeah, I mean, either way, he's pitching well enough to have kept his spot in the rotation. Skubal has struggled, hence the bullpen. But, I mean, you know, here's the thing, Anthony, and I know this rubs against the grain for some Tigers fans. You have to come into this season realizing you're playing for down the road. I'm not telling you the Tigers don't want to win a game whenever the opportunity presents itself. But if the choice is between we win a game today, we hurt ourselves long term, or we have to lose a game or two this year, but it's something that will help us down the road. And down the road may be next season or the year after. That's going to be where the Tigers' focus is. That's why you see Skubal going to the bullpen. If they decide that Casey Mize's innings are better controlled by making him a bullpen guy rather than a guy out of the rotation, do it. Personally, I would think you'd want to keep a guy in a rhythm. They know they're going to pitch on day X. Every fifth day, they're going to take the mound. So that would be the only, as I sit here and think about it, that would be my only concern with Skubal. My guess, like I said, is that he and Turnbull are going to piggyback because Turnbull hasn't started for weeks and weeks. He's not going to be able to go that long. So those two will work together. I just like the idea of you saying, Skubal, your next appearance, notice I didn't say start, next appearance is on day X. Get ready for it. Be ready. That day comes, you're going to pitch.
Because they're creatures of habit, right? Like
exactly. Especially when you're in the rotation, a very underrated part of what starting pitchers do are their side sessions in between starts. That is the day you work to tighten up pitches. Maybe try something different. Tweak their actual delivery, or change where you stand on the mound, or do whatever it is to try and get things squared away if things aren't going great. And the only way you can have that day in the bullpen to work on those things is if you're in a very patterned rotation type situation. If you don't know when your next appearance is, bullpen pitchers don't throw bullpens because instead they may have to be used during a game. That's why the starters throw those quote-unquote bullpens in a couple of days before their next start, to kind of work out the kinks between starts and stay sharp and work things out. So I don't care if they're in the bullpen or in the rotation, as long as there is a date set for their next start so they can have those bullpen sessions and continue the development.
John Wagner, I just want to throw this out there because we're up against it, but it was this past week was the first time since the 1998 season, since it was April 4th of 1998, that the New York Yankees were in sole possession of last place in the American League, which is where they sat at 5-10 going into Monday night. So I just want to throw that out there. And for those that might not understand where we're at from a historical context, in 1998, the New York Yankees ended up winning the World Series in a 4-0 sweep over the San Diego Padres. So just throwing it out there for the folks,
I was wondering if you knew how that season ended. Yes, way too early. Let's come back in 40 games. If they're still in last place in 40 games, I promise you I'll be concerned. I expect I will not be concerned.
He is John Wagner. Find him on Twitter, John Wagner Sport. John, my friend, thank you so much for your time today, my man. We greatly appreciate you.
I hope you and your listeners have a great week, Anthony.